Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
President Donald J. Trump, he's happy about the economy. He's not so happy about some other issues. We'll get into that. I want to get to the developing story, one that we've been following very carefully. And that is oftentimes when we start at 6 a.m. And if you aren't with us at 6 a.m. for Kale & Co., where have you been? But we often start out talking about Philadelphia, the search for suspects, our hardworking police officers as they protect and serve. And Greg Stocker, our great brand manager, often says, where are the suspects' description? I often end those news stories by saying, and no suspects' descriptions, no motive, no arrests, but they're asking for you to call the tip line. That's how we go. Well, now we have just released by Philadelphia Police, first and foremost, a $20,000 reward being offered as we now have some newly released surveillance footage. So let's see. This is from, early July, and this is July the 30th. July the 30th. Really, this goes back to early July. July the 30th, we finally, Greg Stocker, if you're still listening, we finally get a suspect description. What am I talking about? Law enforcement officials here in Philadelphia finally releasing the surveillance footage in hopes, they say, of tracking down somebody who's considered a suspect in this ongoing investigation that we've been talking about in the headlines, a gun battle. It had erupted in South Philadelphia. It was a Monday, July 7th. Remember this? Three people killed, 10 others injured, among those children in a neighborhood. So they're just releasing the video, just releasing the suspect, specifically this one guy who they've released the images of him and enhanced those. And this is a homicide investigation. So putting that out there, $20,000 reward. And this happened in the wee hours of that morning, 1500 block of South Edding Street. Remember this in South Philadelphia? And the footage, you see that this, during this gun battle, police say that it happened specifically targeting a porch of a row home. Several people were diving for cover. Horrific situation. And among those killed, a 23-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 24-year-old, those guys were killed. But there were kids injured who have spent weeks at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So I just wanted to put that out there, that we finally get the main suspects' facial, pictures, and they've done some enhancement. And I suspect that perhaps the police already have done some facial recognition, you think? And maybe this is somebody who has some priors. We'll see. But I wanted to bring that forth to you. And I gave Andrew Torres is here. Thank you. Welcome in, Andrew. He's in for Dan Borowski, who's on special assignment. Hey, you. So we got a lot to get to, huh? We got Jimmy Kelly, of course, here. If we have time, which I doubt we will, but Jimmy Kelly was doing his own Too Sexy for My Jeans. He was like giving me because we've been talking about the jean commercial, the blue jean commercial. And so Jimmy was saying that his mom and his wife actually help him pick out jeans. So we'll talk about blue jeans, too, if we have time for that one. Let's get to it, though, if we can, with Donald J. Trump speaking out on True Social. Why? All caps. He is calling once again upon the Fed, which is meeting, started meeting yesterday, and in particular, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, to lower those rates. Remember yesterday we did a huge thing about Trump talking about why this makes him crazy, because just one percentage point, lowering that, what does that mean? Each point, he says, is worth about what did he say yesterday? I can't wrap my brain around the numbers, $350 billion. I can't even imagine it. But the U.S. economy, we've got some great news, growing by more than anticipated in the second quarter. And remember in the first quarter, the news media was leading with this, saying, oh, it shrank. Talking about the first quarter, did slightly by half a percentage point, the GDP had shrunk. And Trump came out and said, not for nothing, but I was just sworn into office January 20th. And so now the Commerce Department, all the economists, all the experts had predicted that we would grow about 2.5%. Well, it grew by 3%, and there are some great numbers. So we're looking at April through June, great numbers. And so the Bureau of Economic Analysis saying the increase in GDP, primarily a reflection of a drop in imports. Okay. What about consumer spending? Bolstered the GDP. So that means people are spending. People are not believing fake news. They're going out there saying, I feel pretty good about what's going on. And so these numbers suggest that shoppers have shrugged off many of the concerns that the economists have had over the potential of levies to drive up the prices. So personal consumption in the second quarter ticking up by about 1.4%. All these numbers being released, it's all good. It's all good. And it's if we look at the data earlier this week, by the way, I'll just mention this important number, households' financial confidence. So that's a key, because essentially if people are feeling confident, who are they trusting? Because less and less people are trusting the media. Because you, if you see, if you look at the headlines from the media every day on so-called mainstream media, oh, doom and gloom and the tariffs and the deadline this Friday, August 1st, watch out, America. Nobody's buying it. Nobody's buying it. All the consumer confidence numbers are up. So that's a good thing. The headline personal consumption expenditures price index, and this is a gauge of inflation, slowing to 2.1% from 3.7%. I know those numbers exclude food and energy, so I always kind of poo-poo that, but I'm just giving you the numbers. So obviously officials at the Federal Reserve, they're looking at these numbers as well. They're interested in these numbers, closely monitoring inflationary pressures as they deliberate over the path of interest rates in the coming months and today. Now, I will tell you that if the board comes out, and it is a board, it's Jerome Powell and a board of 12, right? So if the 12-person FOMC, if they do lower rates, even by a half a percentage point or by the 1% that President Trump has basically begged for, and we will have to get Tony Bruno, that clip of Tony yelling, you know, echoing what Trump has said to lower the rates by a percentage point, that would be huge today. But it would be a surprise if they do so. So we'll follow that. So, by the way, when I talk about the lowering the rates, when we look at the range for the benchmark, the 4.25% to 4.5%, right? I just want to, I know you know this, but I have to say it. The reason that we talk about the lowering the rate, we're talking about the rate at which the banks that charge each other, right? So that's the interest rate when we talk about 4.25%, for example. So think about it. If they lower that rate to, let's just say today, this afternoon, they announce it, which would be huge. Let's say they lower it. I mean, can you imagine, to like 3.5%? That's the rate they charge each other. What Trump is saying, that the way that translates is hundreds of billions of dollars less for when you think about inflation and when you think about what it costs our economy, what it means to our economy. So that's the explanation there. So this is huge. It's why Trump is all over Truth Social. And all he's talking about is the Fed lower the rates. I'll get into the immigration numbers because these are significant numbers. But I want to get into a little bit as we think about Donald J. Trump. Back in the day, my dad reminded me of this. There was this commercial that it was about E.F. Hutton. And it was a commercial back in the day. My dad often says the commercial was famous. One of the most famous commercials and ads. And it basically said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And my dad was, you know, relating this to me and saying, you know, this is Trump today. Whatever Donald J. Trump is speaking about on camera, especially, it's what makes the headline. And so it matters. What Trump says matters. So he had this great trip going overseas to Scotland. And yes, he was playing some golf and we got to see Scotland, which is beautiful. I've never been there. We have to do a conservative tourist trip, maybe. Scotland, Ireland, that would be fun. But they were doing the inaugural of his second golf course over there. But the big headline was, of course, about the EU. The European Union, this is making history as he cut a deal where even some of the countries are not thinking it's a great deal for them, but they cut the deal. It's big. It's big for America. As Trump has said, we've been getting played. Why do we pay more? Why do we never get the fair shake? That's my bottom line on it. And so this is a much more fair deal if you look at what happened with these 27 countries opening up some markets. And that follows what happened last week. Not just, you know, Japan and the UK, we knew they were the first ones. And now they're negotiating with China. Chief Pat Malloy, Abington Police Department, we want to get to you and say hello. Chief, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Dawn. How are you? And my schedule's clear for the next 20 minutes.
Oh, thank you.
I don't feel like you have to race to get me on. I can stand by.
Good morning.
Looking forward
thank
to catching
you.
Up.
Yes, we want to, yep. And we want to talk about a lot of things as far as we just wanted to update, especially with, we've seen these burglaries across the region, reminders to people about, and this came up actually because I thought of you the other morning when we were having a discussion about maybe having somebody as a dog sitter, you know, to watch your house.
Yes.
A lot of people, August, we're in vacation season. So we wanted to bring
sure.
that up. And then a dear friend of ours with the Police Athletic League, Bob Salerno, is being honored as well on August 9th. So we wanted to bring up some of the PAL news and kind of take a celebration of our friend Bob. Let me just highlight
yeah.
something if we can and talk about
sure.
the suburbs if we can and talk about the burglaries, which every summer we do talk about this. I don't know. We've seen an uptick, especially in South Jersey, maybe not Montgomery County. But can you take us through, as a police chief in the suburbs of Montgomery County, what are some of the things that you'd like to warn people about?
Well, you know, we have had a couple trends in Montgomery County and specifically in Abington Township with this South American theft ring.
Yes.
Most of them are Chilean, and they overstayed their visas, and they have been hitting across the nation, but they hit a couple of very wealthy neighborhoods in Abington. And then a few weeks ago, we had an Asians being targeted. And we have at least one suspect in that case. And I have to give my detectives, the FBI, the Attorney General's office, all working collaboratively to identify some of these organized criminals that some live in the city, some are coming up from Florida, and they move very quickly across the country. So I think we're making some progress in those investigations. But like you said earlier, Dawn, like instead of kenneling your dog, if you can have somebody stop by, if anything you can do to make the house look active, that people are coming at unpredictable times, time lights on timers, making sure you're not leaving your mail in the mailbox, or you're stopping your paper if it's delivered, and maybe having a neighbor just check on your property and leaving cars in the driveway. Simple things like that. Keeping talk radio. I always keep 1210 on real loud in my kitchen. So if anybody comes to the back door, they think that there's somebody having a conversation. Many of those things that are just common sense things. And during the summer months, you know, many people travel, and sometimes some of these burglars are doing counter surveillance on homes and or individuals who own businesses. So just being aware of your surroundings, keeping your head on a swivel is also another thing. I know you were talking about that case the
yes.
other day where the Rolex watch was stolen and that poor couple was terrorized. But.
Yes. And that was another one. They were in Center City, Philadelphia, you know, a romantic, we all want a date night, right? And so they have
yeah.
a date night, beautiful evening, Sunday night, head home, which is, I think, like 20 some miles away to South Jersey. And in that one, you know, is that something that, you know, people across the region need to be aware of?
Dawn, I don't, you know, I get a lot of intelligence bulletin in that. This one seems rare. It almost sounds like an inside job, like somebody maybe from that restaurant who saw the watch, made a call. I don't know. I'm not privy to any of that. But it just seems like, you know, how would they pick that individual out? Did they see them in the restaurant and then follow them, or did somebody tip off the suspects? And I think you guys talked about it's easy to get rid of a Rolex watch
yeah.
on the market. So you know, what would I suggest in those things? Get a permit to carry, you know, making sure that you or keep your head on the swivel if you're inclined to do that. And as far as being followed, it's unusual for that to happen. But you know, that's unfortunate. Hopefully the investigators, the FBI and local PDs in Jersey make an arrest. And they have some tools and some technologies, I think, where they'll be able to grab these guys.
One story that struck me, and it's not as widely reported on, NBC 10, Deanna Durante, credit to her, asked the question. But this is not in your district, Chief Malloy in Abington there, but yes, it's Montgomery County. Lansdale's, the police chief was speaking out. And it's, I want to say it's one of the first times that I think I've seen a police chief, I don't know, maybe it's because he was asked the question, he felt he had to answer honestly, number one, but maybe he felt there's a different climate where the answer was and the disclosure was welcome. And where I'm leading with is the reporting of, first of all, thank God the woman's okay, but a woman in Lansdale, Montgomery County, lives not too far from my brother and sister-in-law, by the way, and many friends and family there. She wakes up in the middle of the night with a man over her, strangling her. Thank God she survived, was able to fight him off. Later, they catch the guy. But then they reveal through this, through the question of, I believe it was Deanna Durante of NBC 10 broke the story, that this individual is here illegally, came into the country about 2 years ago illegally. And so they're trying to learn, does he have a criminal record where he came from? Pretty violent, horrific crime. Is this something new to you? Chief, I haven't seen this story and the narrative. I'm happy to see the honest narrative.
Yes, and we should be honest, right? This was a horrifying event for that woman, and thank God she was able to fight him off. And I think because of the laptop, they were able to quickly get this guy into custody. There's a lot of controversy surrounding administrative warrants being served by ICE agents and what is the role of local police. We don't care where you come from. If you're committing crimes, if you have a warrant, and the tricky thing is 20 million people that came into this country undocumented last year, it just exacerbated an issue where we don't know what their criminal history was. Sometimes they're here and they have criminal histories in other countries. So when ICE is showing up, to serve these warrants, there's some information we just don't know. But in this case, it is rare for somebody to come into a house. And I can tell in the 30 years, they're the ones that trouble us the most. Yeah. Occupied burglaries, nighttime burglaries. I can recall a rape of a woman that happened in the middle of the night when I was a young officer, and we actually pursued the individual in a car and locked him up. So that was a successful ending for us. Anyway, we got the bad guy off the street. But his status as an undocumented is relevant because ICE is, the policies have changed under the new president, and now they're going to be enforcing those administrative warrants. But more importantly, like I said from the beginning, when this comes up and people challenge us, we don't care what your country of origin is. Our job is to be public safety, peacemakers and crime fighters and take bad guys off the street. And really doesn't matter where you come from. And it just makes it a little easier to deport them once they're locked up, because you can turn them right over to ICE and they can handle that.
For law enforcement across the nation, I just wanted to ask you if you have a comment. I think that law enforcement struck hard by the killing of this hero officer in New York City as his, leaves behind two little boys, his very pregnant wife. She's due in a couple of weeks. And everything, by all accounts, you hear about this man, just a true blue hero and wonderful human being. I know that it really strikes at the hearts of law enforcement at every level across the country.
Sure. And we send our honor guard to these funerals anywhere within a few hour radius. It's like hitting the blue family. Feel, especially this young man with his wife having expecting their third child. And he was out there hustling overtime, working extra hours probably to take care of his family. And for a guy with a long gun, mental illness, and very violent and angry, goes in there and takes his life. It's so tragic, and my heart goes out to his family and all the members of NYPD who have to, you know, bear this loss of such a young officer who had a great future there, and most of all, a father, husband. And so that hits hard, and so I'm, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll, one thing we do very well in law enforcement, we honor those who've made the ultimate sacrifice. And it's so at the time when he is buried, you will see people all across this country come together to honor the courage and bravery and the things that all of us in this business stand for.
And they've just released the funeral plans. To your point, Chief Pat Malloy, NYPD officer, Didarul Islam, who was just 36 years young. His funeral looks like that will be tomorrow, as so we're getting some, you know, prayer service interment in New Jersey, and so New York, New Jersey, they're going to actually have the viewing and the services over the next couple of days for not only Officer Islam, but as well the other victims who were killed. On a lighter, brighter note, we have a mutual friend, Bob Salerno, who's our police athletic league, one of our local heroes, and he's being honored with a really wonderful honor locally coming up for his, well, they call it the Golden Heart, and he does have a heart of gold.
Yeah, and I can remember Bob as I think I was probably 1990, maybe 2000 when we first started the Police Athletic League. He was there from the beginning at Glenside Weldon School every Friday and Saturday night. And at that time, it was basically volunteers. And he really, you know, if you think about every Friday, Saturday night over the course of 24 years, I think Pal now has been coming up on 25 years in 2026. He has been sort of the glue that holds a lot of these programs together. And, you know, your son, Michael, has worked closely with him over the years. And that's prime time for, you know, on a Friday, Saturday night to give that up in order to provide, you know, mentorship and other programs to kids in Abington. And I don't know if you know the numbers, but it's over 100, sometimes up to 125 kids now coming in on Friday and Saturday evenings. And many of these children and young teens, they don't have any other options. Sometimes they come from families that are a little less fortunate, may not have the means to get involved in other programs, travel programs, et cetera. So none of these kids have to pay a dime to participate in, as you know, on the Friday and Saturday nights and all the other programs that we have throughout the year that are specifically designed to bring the cops and kids together. But none of that would be possible without Bob Salerno's dedication. So I'm not surprised that the Golden Heart Committee, this will be the second time, and they've never had somebody receive this award twice because of other activities that has been doing beyond the Police Athletic League, trying to bring people together and angels in motion, putting blessing bags together. He does other things in the community and not looking for recognition. That's what's nice about this honor coming up. I think it's next Saturday.
August 9th.
The 8th or August 9th, yes.
The Golden Heart Awards Banquet honoring unsung heroes like our friend Bob Salerno. So it's Saturday, August 9th. And I just mentioned this, too, because, you know, we have a generous group and people are always looking for organizations like this one. Even if you can't go to the dinner, you can always donate or get involved. And so, you know, part of it is I don't want to deliver all the bad news, Chief. I want to, you know, give everybody an opportunity to be part of the solution, right?
Absolutely. And you think if we invest in these kids at this point in their lives and provide that mentorship, maybe you steer them in a direction, especially with our recruiting challenges. I think we have opportunities not only to teach kids about character and other positive things, but also maybe we have future police officers that we when they see the cops just as men and women, fathers, brothers, sisters, not in an enforcement role, it's a great thing for us and our community. And with a budget of nearly $200,000 that we have to raise every year in order to provide these programs, as you know, at Salem Baptist Church in the heart of Abington and Roslyn, paying the lease, paying for the programs, paying salaries, But we believe, we always believe that the investment in our youth is worth it, because in the long run, we're going to spend less money if we're able to steer them in the right direction and get them to be productive citizens and members of our community. So it's a source of great pride for us, yeah. The Police Athletic League and our community policing division in general, because that's what we, that defines us. You know, we're here to serve the public and protect, but this is an opportunity for us to establish relationships that oftentimes go on for a lifetime or a career. Yeah. Many of these kids come back to thank Peggy and Bob Salerno and others who make this program work. Yep, and once in a while they thank me. No, but you guys are doing all the hard work, and I know you and Larry over the years serving on the board, and we really appreciate that, and the voice that you give us on the radio. I think it's important for people to understand that we need their support in order to keep these programs going.
Well, moving forward, we'll have to talk about it's not going to do a Palloween this year. It's something new. It's the Pal Holiday. So
yes.
Mark your calendars early, because it's the Thursday before Thursday Thanksgiving. And so I'm really excited for this, Chief. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be great. November 20th, 7 to 10 at Philmont Country Club. $50 tickets, and it's going to be a great night. It's a little different from the past, so we're looking forward to that. We have a couple new officers in community policing bringing some new ideas for next year, and even special events for special needs children only moving forward. So we're looking forward to bringing some new programming, but we can't do it without the help. And if anybody wants to donate, they can go to Venmo us at Abington. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
At Abington Pal. Or go to our website at abingtonpal.org. You know, it's been tough with rents going up and other things to make payroll. So we're going to do a push, you know, coming in the fall, and hopefully we can raise money to get a little breathing room so we can continue to provide these valuable resources to our youth in Abington.
And we'll definitely, when we start to get closer, I just wanted people to pencil it in. November 20th, that Thursday, because we'll talk about it a lot more. Listen, Chief
Great.
Pat Malloy, you're always generous with your time. Thank you so much for being here today. I'll see you soon.
Dawn, thank you, and thank you for everything you do for the law enforcement community.
Aw, thanks,
take
Chief.
Care. All right.
Appreciate
take
you.
Care.
Chief Pat Malloy, I'm way over, so we'll take a quick break, and if you have any thoughts, you want to call in 855-839-1210, but I am way over, so we got to pay some bills. Be right back. In reaction to the American Eagle controversy with the, alleged, because she's talking about good genes with a pun on J-E-A-N-S. He says, as the father of a teenage boy who shops at American Eagle, I feel obligated to share his take on the Sydney Sweeney situation, but he has not come out of the bathroom since the ad dropped. This is Jimmy Fallon. He's so laugh out loud funny. Thank you for the laughs, Jimmy Fallon. So as we look at the Trump latest, and I know he's commenting a lot this morning, as we said, on True Social, all caps, encouraging the Fed to lower the rate. I doubt that'll happen, but that would be a definite victory lap as we think about what's going on. By the way, when we talk about Judge Jeanine, who we all miss on Fox, she was another Fox News star tapped by this administration, the Trump appointee, Jeanine Pirro, intensifying cooperation with ICE agents in the district in D.C. as the White House presses deportation campaigns in big cities. So not just New York City, but we've seen ICE not as much in Philadelphia. Have you noticed that? They're more in specifically Montgomery County, but in the collar counties. But this is Jeanine Pirro. And this is the U.S. Attorney's Office in the district in D.C. beginning more vigorously scrutinizing the immigration status of criminal defendants, specifically in Washington, D.C. This is per the Washington Post, you know, where democracy dies in darkness. So they say, as the Trump administration tries to meet the president's goal of deporting 1 million unauthorized immigrants in the first year of his new term, and they've been targeting major cities, as we've seen, across the West Coast, Los Angeles in particular, but New York has been cooperative with that, as you well know. And Judge Jeanine Pirro, who is now the interim U.S. attorney, she says, quote, every defendant's legal status must be determined as soon as a matter is brought into this office. So she's restoring integrity to that office. Thank you. We love you, Judge Jeanine. Unlike any other U.S. attorney's offices in the country, they handle only federal cases. So Pirro's office also does prosecute more than 7,000 people a year in D.C. Superior Court, including those accused of violating local laws. And that means from misdemeanors to murders. But it's a very important office that she was called to. And I think that at this point, they're saying that the scope and impact of the announced changes was not immediately clear. ICE already automatically receives the fingerprints of people booked into jails nationwide, allowing it to determine their immigration status and potential for removal. So what they're not writing about, by the way, and this is a little bit of a bias by omission that I'll just point out as I'm being nitpicky here, but what we've seen across the country is that, yes, ICE gets the records automatically. Okay, they do if they have a match. But what happens is once you get the record, you got to send somebody there. So they will then, you know, put forth a communication that says, please hold this individual for us so that we can, without any drama, because the person is being held and we can show up now and take custody of that individual. And so what blue so-called sanctuary municipalities across the country have done is they've said, oh, no, hurry, hurry, hurry. Release the person, and then you have to go out and catch them. Well, if you do that, now ICE has to go looking for that person where? Somewhere in the community. And it gets messy. And sometimes this can cause the victimization of innocent people, right? That's what happens. It gets a little messy because now you have law enforcement hunting down somebody who's now been through the system. So this is not a nice, compliant individual. And where do they hide? They hide among innocent people. And sometimes innocent people get hurt in the process now. So why not keep everybody safe? If you've been asked to hold them, to detain them, so that ICE can go because they're already in custody. It makes it a smooth transition. But you see, they don't want to do that with the sanctuary cities. They don't want to cooperate. Why? It puts everybody in danger. It puts law enforcement in danger. It puts the community in danger. So why not just do something that's a smooth transition? Doesn't it seem to make common sense? Plus, it's costing us. We, the people, have to pay for this. By the way, and I did headline this, that according to the new numbers that we're seeing, these are government numbers, and you can look for all of the release of these numbers. But think about this, the 214 illegal immigrants just in the Houston area, and these are charged or convicted of child sex crimes. 214 individuals. So this particular statistic surpasses all of the arrests made during the entire year last year. And this is by the Houston field office. That's one field office, by the way, getting these statistics. 214 dangerous individuals, and they're convicted or charged of child sex crimes. Does anybody support these individuals being out there? Absolutely not. And you can look this up. They age, and you know, the age ranges are basically middle-aged people, from a lot of them in their 40s through their 60s. And they name them all. Jesus Gutierrez Morales, 67, from Mexico. And by the way, Mexico and all these different countries, El Salvador, Guadalupe, all these countries, they want these scumbags back because these very dangerous, vile child sex criminals, they're wanted in their home countries. So this is us cooperating and saying, here's your, you know, predator back, have at him. And now they're going to face justice back at home. Some of these people have been deported multiple times, but under the previous administration, and why would anybody want these? Some of these guys, aggravated sex assault of a minor. I mean, the crime lists are really sick. Aggravated sexual assault of a child. The list goes on and on. I'm looking through mugshots and pictures. But some of the mugshots, because they're being matched up through fingerprinting and whatnot, from the home country. So these are most wanted in the world individuals. It makes me nauseous. And then we always air the video, don't we, of these sickos. And then, bleeding hearts being gaslit over this. We just had this in Montgomery County. There's a headline right now where they're saying, oh, there's a push in Montgomery County. I'll tell you about this around the corner. There's a push in Montgomery County to make sure that these arrests of alleged, you know, innocent illegals, that these don't happen, to limit ICE. So I just want you to, you know, let that soak in. We'll talk about that. A lot of breaking news around the corner. We'll get to all of it. I'm Dawn Stensland at Dawn Stensland, 855-839-1210. Be right back. We'll take you to the battle of one star athlete who now is forced to sue because, you know what? She says it's not fair. We've got to protect girls in sports. This is Dawn Stensland. Be back in just a moment live for a great interview with a star athlete and her battle.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.